This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato. I hit it hard, man.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. John and Charlie today. No Billy. He's on the road. Billy couldn't be here.
On the road to New York for what, we don't know, but hopefully next week he'll have some information about it. But who's that beer guy that advertises for the double Dos Equis?
Oh, yeah, the world's most interesting man?
That's you, John. Yeah. John, you're styling with the... with a beard,
yeah,
huh?
I got the beard. I actually got a text. Somebody said that to me. We were in the water in Florida last week, and a kid, his raft, and I pushed it back to him, and he said, "Wow, the world's most interesting man." Well, I kind of look like him a little bit. He made a lot more money than I did, Charlie. That's for sure.
You know, you're doing all right. I'm not, you know,
but you're
tan from your vacation with your beautiful family.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, we had a great time. Great time. So we got a lot of golf to talk about, Charlie. We've had a lot of good stuff going.
Golf is going, John.
Well, it's the only thing, and like I've said for how long, I was saying golf should be the leader, and it has been the leader.
Yes, yeah.
We see the basketball tournament. I don't know if you've seen any of that on ESPN.
Come on.
No. The basketball tournament is going on, but golf is leading the way in professional sports and doing a hell of a job.
And we got some characters.
And we got some characters, and we got three guys with the coronavirus that have tested positive all playing together, that they're actually out there competing. So We've seen a lot, and it's so weird how this is going, everything that's going on with the coronavirus, Charlie. But we also have seen guys who are tested positive can actually go out and compete and feel fine and feel asymptomatic. So this thing, you know, we've got so much talk about what's going to go on with baseball, what's going to go on with basketball, what's going to go on with football. Golf is leading the way and showing, hey, you know, we can get this done. Now, it's a non-contact sport, so that helps. You know, and the guys aren't rubbing on each other.
It's a contact sport for me.
Well, you got
to contact
the ball.
Contact the ball.
The ball, yeah.
And I don't do it anymore.
Well,
John,
I don't care if the ball tests positive. All I know is that the ball's going far right now.
It's not for me.
And Charlie, as we're getting older, it's going less and less.
It's going
and less.
Like a marshmallow.
That's right. So, but we know how far it's going for Bryson DeChambeau. I can tell you that. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about all that. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. Jose on the board. What's up, Jose? How you doing, pal?
I'm good, Johnny. How are you?
Doing great, man. I haven't seen you in a long time. I had to stay at home. I was quarantining, and now I'm back and seeing you.
You're really tanned.
Yeah. Well, we were in Florida last week.
Really impressive with the full beard and everything.
I went right behind enemy lines, right behind in danger zone last week. I just said, you know what? Let's go from Texas to Florida. What's the difference?
Shit.
That's all we got. That's all we got is the coronavirus all over us. So
walk around with 200,000 people.
That's right. Might as well.
That's it. Hey, Jake did a good job last week in your absence.
Who did? Jake? Jake Yasmin?
Yeah.
He's a fine young man. Fine young man and a great professional. So that was good stuff. Last couple of weeks he was here. Yeah. And Billy can't be here this week, but we are going to have your buddy here.
Larry Dornish, director of golf at Muirfield Golf Club in Columbus, Ohio. He's been there for many, many years. He's Jack Nicklaus's right-hand man, running that club, and he's got back-to-back tour events. Last time that happened was at the U.S. Open in Pinehurst. Remember when they had the men's U.S. Open and then they had the ladies'
right.
U.S. Open? Well, we have that going on this week.
But it's the same tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it's still, you know, 144 holes back-to-back.
Right.
And then
is the course going to be able to take it?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean,
but you're going to have to move the tees up and down so that not everybody's hitting from, you know, the fairway's got to have a bunch of divots in them.
How would you like to be a member of that course?
Oh, my goodness.
And then, right
I'd love to be a member. Thanks. Second, are you offering?
Second week, they close it down to redo it. Jack is always, you know, searching for the magic number. And if DeChambeau gets up and drives 18, you know, I'm not sure he's going to put the green behind the clubhouse for next year.
Yeah, right. You're going to have to.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. So after next week, after the Memorial, going to shut it down.
Yep.
And redo it. So we'll talk to Larry Dornish about all of that coming up in just a little bit here. In the meantime, how about the, let's get some business out of the way, the Houston Food Bank. What's going on there?
You know, they're doing very, very well. They're front page this week because of the U.S. Army helped them and volunteers, and everybody's working for that great cause of people during this pandemic need some help with food and money, and we're part of it. The Spirit Golf Association with the Whispering Pines, we volunteered, and we're getting close to the $2 million mark that we promised that we'd do, and then we're going to move up to Austin and do some more stuff in Dallas. So we're helping the community, and Todd Alfred, who is the president of the Spirit Golf Association, and Corby Robertson is just doing mm-hmm. their job, and the people from Houston, like you, are sending in their money.
Yep. 41444 is the text number if you want. It's so easy to do. I did it myself, and it is so simple and so quick. If you want to donate to the Houston Food Bank and help people eat, man, oh, man, we can't need it more than ever. Need it more than ever. So if you're looking for a great way to help out, 41444. And if you're in another area, you can donate as well. There are food banks all over the country that are being
That's right. Yeah. And the largest food bank in the country is Houston's.
Is Houston? Huh.
So, but they reach out all over. So it's a great organization, and we got to support them.
Yeah, 41444 is the text line. So we got that done. Let's talk a little bit about what Bryson DeChambeau is in the middle of the news, Charlie, all over the place. And it's so funny. You know, he won. So he was upset that he was in a bunker and he didn't hit the shot he wanted. And then he started some antics in the bunker. And then he left the bunker. And the camera was on him still.
Yeah.
So the camera continued to be on him. And then he went and hit. And then he went after that cameraman later. And he said, well, you know, what are you doing? Why is that camera still on me? Why? You're trying to make us look bad. And blah, 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 blah. You're an athlete. You're playing for millions of dollars. You should be, first of all, you know, your focus might be if you're worried about where cameras are and everything else. But secondly, I don't know if he knows. Has he ever watched any sports? Because reaction shots are part of all sports. When a batter strikes out, when a quarterback throws an interception, you go to the sideline and there's a camera on him. You know what? And that's just part of the business. Well, he talked about it afterwards. He's worried about his brand. He's worried about, you know, hey, you're hurting our brand over here.
You know, it's a reaction and competition, and sometimes, I mean, he's not the first one to do it in golf. He's not the other sports guys do it. I mean, it's
just going after cameraman,
in the heat of the battle, and they want to take their aggression out on somebody. Is it right? No. Have you ever seen Jack Nicklaus do that? Tiger Woods has. Yep. You know, I mean, so he'll learn from it, but you never know what's going on in that body of his.
Well, that's another question. And Brooks Koepka, seeing him going after the cameraman, there's a famous gif of Kenny Powers. It was a baseball show and on HBO, and Kenny Powers was accused of doing steroids, and he came after the cameraman, and he ripped the camera down, and that's the gif. Kenny Powers ripping the camera down, and it says Kenny Powers in reaction to steroid accusations. And he sent that out to DeChambeau. Well, it's a double two-prong. First, the cameraman side of it, but then the second side is the steroid issue. What are the guys thinking out there about DeChambeau and his new body?
Well, you know the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain
nice
guys
talk.
that are wondering. I mean, you do what he's done. It's just been incredible. I mean, like I told you, this tournament he won last week up in Detroit, an 8-iron from 230 yards out of the rough on the green, 8-iron. I mean, his strength, I mean, that's where the advantage of his miles per hour, is so great that he can cut through the rough. But I'll remind everybody that in 2007, Ángel Cabrera won the U.S. Open with a drive on 18 on Sunday, 246 yards. Now, he, at that time, he was 37 years old. He swung at it hard, and at certain holes and all that, he could achieve the distances that
246 or 346?
346. Excuse me.
Yeah.
That DeChambeau is achieving. So, and it's going to change the tour, and because of the golf ball, it goes so straight, because of the shafts and the technology in the club head, he can go ahead and swing that, and the club will respond. Angel's club, at times, the shaft was not quite as strong, and it would break down on him,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's a modern era. It's a new era. Golf is, you know, DeChambeau is right there in front of everybody. And the little guys are being left behind.
Well, yeah, and I wonder if this isn't going to be the way of the future.
Look at Wolf.
Yeah, I mean,
he had 9 birdies and an eagle.
Yeah, the big strong. I wonder if everybody isn't going to just start weightlifting and weight training and just bulking up and hitting it as far as they possibly can, because this is he's writing the game plan for everybody. But there is the issue, and Nick Faldo has pointed it out several times, is because he's always got a wedge in his, he's always got a sand wedge in his hand. He's 100 yards out at practically every second shot. If he could get better with that, he'd be unbeatable. But he's using graphite shafts on his wedges, and Nick Faldo says he needs to go to steel. Where are you on this?
If Shaq could have made free throws, he would have been unbelievable.
Right.
Okay. You know? Yeah. So when you get into that era of softness, strong guys aren't going to have that touch. I don't care what shaft you have in there. His body and his muscles are trained now to swing as hard as he can. Well, when you swing a wedge that has a lot of loft, you know, it's hard to learn how to do that. So over a period of time, he'll probably improve it, and he'll probably, you know, take some, you know, help from the manufacturers, get heavier shafts, so on and so forth. But the short shots are very difficult
for a big guy. I get you. I get that. And he ain't doing too bad anyway, right?
He just won a tournament and finished out of the top 8,
right?
You know, since last year.
Yeah. So he's definitely, if he can get that down, Charlie, if he can knock his from 100 yards out, if he can knock him stiff within 5 feet, all the 5-7 feet all the time, he'll be unbeatable.
His next tournament is Muirfield. He's won there. Now it's going to be interesting, and they'll do this. They have all the records of what clubs he hit on every hole. And, I mean, he might drive the first hole.
He's already beaten Tiger for longest average drive now. So, well, here we go. And we got with the man who is going to be running it. Larry Dornish is going to join us on the other side right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, being joined right now by the director of golf at Muirfield Village Golf Club in Dublin, Ohio, Larry Dornish, longtime director of golf there. Larry, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you very much.
It's so great to have you on the show. We really appreciate it. You're doing something that just isn't done. They did it one other time, but you're hosting back-to-back events at your club. Tell us about the challenges of that.
Pretty unique. Very weird year with the COVID and no spectators, so it's been very interesting. Some of the areas that I'm involved in with the merchandising. So, but the biggest challenge, obviously, was the golf course, and the superintendent's done a phenomenal job, sort of monitoring what's going on this week, playing a little defense, and then getting the golf course ready for obviously the Memorial next week.
Why would you do this?
Very good question. What happened is that when the John Deere pulled out because of the problems with the state of Illinois and access to golf, and John Deere, which is a global company, lost some of the value because they couldn't bring in their international group. The tour did not want to have a week off once they got started. So they came to the us and asked if we would be able to host back-to-back events. And Jack thought that if it's good for the game of golf, and that was his quote, we should do it. So it seemed like it was good for the game of golf to have an event this week rather than having to take the week off. We have the ability to host it. We've got a tremendous staff here, a great group of people. The superintendent said absolutely he could pull it off. So why not?
I'm sure the members were real happy with it, but I'm really happy for you, Larry, and I know you've been a golf pro. You've been, you know, since a caddy at the age of 11, you've been involved in the game, and you had such a great career starting down in Florida or starting over in Philadelphia. He's a Philadelphia guy.
Nice.
You know,
and yeah, so, Philly guy.
Philly
yeah.
guy. And now you're going to retire.
Yeah, pretty weird. It's kind of fun walking around knowing that the buck doesn't stop here anymore. It's kind of walking around with a little bit of a lame duck and watching other people work. But, yeah, I'm blessed. I've had a great life getting to associate with people like you and mentored by Bob Ross, who retired from Baldusraw. It's just been a great career, and my association with Jack and Barbara Nicholas and the Nicholas family, and now, you know, 25 years here at Muirfield Village Golf Club. It just looked like it was time to move on, but I've had a tremendous career, and a lot of great opportunities came my way. I'm very lucky.
Well, you know, golf pros, we don't retire to our yachts or to our big homes in Colorado, and I know you've been around the game so much. You're still going to – are you going to settle in Columbus, or what's your plans there?
Well, I've got two sons, as you know. I've got one that's an assistant golf professional, a shooting star in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and another son that's unfortunately struggling with his own marketing company in Denver, Colorado. He's does a lot of work for Progressive Insurance and runs their boat shows. And as we know, that business has gone away for a while. So I don't know. There's no reason to leave Columbus. It's a great place. Look forward to maybe going someplace with a little nicer weather in the winter. I kid, as you know, Charlie, I've been fortunate to have a lot of assistants that have gone on and done very well. So I've got Eric Bayou at the Bears Club and Brian Pieper over at Lost Tree, and I told both of them that they need to go play a match, and the loser gets me as a starter.
So Larry Dornis is with us here, director of golf at Muirfield Village Golf Club in Dublin, Ohio. You spent so much time with Jack Nicklaus. All we get to see of Jack is on television and what we, you know, what we see in the news or whenever he's interviewed. Can you tell us something about Jack and your relationship with him over the years?
Pretty special. You know, I guess I either had the longest interview or the shortest interview in history when I came here to Muirfield. I was the professional at Lost Tree Club where Jack just raised his family. And he walked in one day and said, Jim Gurney's going to retire. Do you want to be the head pro at Muirfield? And it was funny because he was actually a reference for me for another job that I had applied for at the time. He said, if you're going to leave, I just assume you come to Muirfield. So I either had a 5-minute interview or a 10-year interview, whichever way you want to look at it. Either he liked what I did for the 10 years I was at Lost Tree, or 5 minutes he decided I was the right guy. But again, you know, the relationship, I can tell you just a little, you know, it's been kind of a weird week with the tournament and no spectators and all the changes. And yet, you know, Jack and Barbara sat down yesterday and wrote each one of us department heads this really nice note thanking us for our hard work, thanking us for getting everything prepared and realizing that it was kind of a weird year. And that's just the kind of family they are. And that's just how Jack and Barbara are. They give you the tools to do your job. They let you alone, let you do your job. And fortunately for me, I've only had one or two occasions where I got that phone call where something that didn't go right.
That's great. Larry Dornis with us here. And you've been there, and you've been at the Memorial Tournament for all of these years. And now this is going to be it. If there's one memory from all of the tournaments that comes to your mind first, what would it be?
You know, it's one shot that I remember Tiger Woods hit in one of his first victories on the fifth hole. We had had a rain delay and went back out after the delay, and Tiger hit a 2-iron from about 225 back in those days and looked like a pitching wedge going into the fifth green, hit it about 3 feet and forced Paul Azinger to hit a 4-wood, which he hit about a half a groove thin and hit it in the water. Tiger makes 3. Paul made 6 and, you know, flipped the tournament and went on. So that's the one shot that I remember, I think, better than everything. But just the association with, you know, the people at CBS and Jim Nantz and, you know, lunches we used to have talking about the game. And, you know, probably the best day of the year was the Monday after the tournament every year. Jack would take myself, the club manager, and the golf course superintendent. We'd ride around the golf course, evaluate the play, talk about how the golf course was presented and any changes. And, you know, to sit there in a cart with Jack and talk, you know, about 18 holes and his design theories and what he's trying to accomplish was just, I mean, those days are just, you know, memorable.
Great stuff. Larry Dornish with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity.
Well, the big name in golf now is Bryson DeChambeau. What has Jack said about how he has grown becoming a golf professional? You know, he won the amateur, he won the NCAA. We knew he could, you know, bring good scores to the golf course, but now his science has changed the golf equipment, but also now his science has changed his swing speed. Mm-hmm. And if he stands up on next week on Monday and drives it on number one, what's Jack going to do?
I think it's really interesting to see the strategy. I really do believe that, you know, we have kind of given up a little bit on length. There's almost nothing you can do to stop these guys as far as they all hit it. I mean, now Bryson's exceptional, but they all hit it so far anymore. So we've gone to a concept of some narrower fairways. If you watch the golf this week and next, you'll see where the rough is really a challenge. It's about a half stroke penalty. And so, rather than trying to get out there and just make the golf course so long, trying to make the golf course a little more strategic, you know, give you some reward for actually hitting it in a fairway, not just for hitting it as far as you can. So his approach has changed. I can tell you this. I haven't talked to Jack about Bryson in particular, but just to walk through the locker room this week and hear the players talking about what Bryson is doing and seeing guys on the range was funny. I was watching couple guys practice swinging as hard as they could, trying to see how far they could hit it. So it's amazing how it's affected sort of the other players on the tour and how they're even talking about, you know, what he's doing right now.
Well, that's another thing, Larry. Are you going to miss all the players that you've got? Do you have any good relationships with any of the guys out there?
Yeah, mostly some of the, you know, the older players right now, although I'm very fortunate, you know, hanging down at the Bears Club a little bit in the wintertime, getting to know some of the younger players that are members down there. So, I mean, all the relationships, I mean, that's what golf is about. We're a hospitality business, the relationships you develop. I mean, I had lunch with Lance Barrow the other day from CBS Sports, and this is his last year traveling around. So it's kind of unfortunate for him where, you know, here, you know, he's doing his farewell tour and unfortunately not getting the, he's now quarantined. We haven't been able to even, you know, say hi to him. So those are the things that you miss. The Captain's Club here is such a special group of people to, you know, have all of the, you know, those folks come in and spend the day and just talk about the game of golf. There's so many special things about it. Yeah, I'm going to miss it a lot. I'd be lying to you if I told you I didn't get a little choked up and a little emotional thinking that this is the last time I'm going to see a lot of this. But, yeah, it's all about the people you meet. Golf attracts some interesting and wonderful people. And, you know, those relationships, I hope, will last a lifetime.
Yep. Well, we appreciate you joining us. We know you got work to do, or you're just watching everybody. You want to watch everybody else do the work this week.
Just having milkshakes.
That's all. That's all. Go have fun, Larry. Enjoy enjoy these last couple of weeks there out on the tour. And, boy, we appreciate you being here, and congratulations on your great career and all the success you've had.
Well, I want to thank Charlie Epps has been a special friend for years to me and a real mentor, and this is a great opportunity for me to say thank you to Charlie.
Well, Larry, you're the best. See you in the next couple months.
All right, I'll look forward to it, buddy.
Congratulations.
Take care, guys.
Take care.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
That's a good friend of yours, Larry Dornish.
Yes.
Yeah.
For great, years,
you guys have been
career.
Working together as well.
Yes, we were together in the Nicholas Frick Golf Schools. We did corporate outings together. Yeah. He's just, he's just a good guy, and he's got some great stories, of course, about Nicholas and Barbara, especially of what kind of lady Barbara Nicholas is, and
how so classic.
How she treats everybody, you know, in at the clubs, and so it's a great success. And now he's 70 years old. He's got, you know, about 15 acres outside of Columbus, and his wife, you know, has a couple horses, and his biggest headache on Monday is mowing the lawn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Larry's, he has two beautiful sons, and now he's going to enjoy retirement.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah.
And you do groups, you two, you were just telling me about.
Yeah. Well,
people to Scotland, you take groups to Oakmont place. And,
I've been doing that since 1972, John. It's unbelievable. You know, that's when I went to Spain and traveling, and when I became the golf pro at Houston Country Club. One way is that my philosophy is help the members spend some of their money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd take, you know, people to Pebble Beach, all the members. I'd take them to Scotland, to St. Andrews, and then I got corporate, you know, relationships with a couple companies, and we'd entertain their people. So, you know, at the age of 75, I'm still very active.
That's great.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It
sounds like you've had a lot of good meals and a lot of fun and a lot of great golf courses, Charlie.
Unbelievable. My dad always told me I never had a real job.
No. Until this day.
You get paid for doing that? I said, yeah, it's hard work drinking a bottle of wine with a
Pinot,
great steak.
A little Pinot with a nice steak. That is great, great, great stuff. And you also do it for Insperity. What about your people over at Insperity?
They're so great. I mean, even during this horrible, horrible year we're having, their specialty is helping small business. And one of their advertisements, it says, make sure your business is staying out of the hazards. Uh-huh. Right now, it's not the hazards, it's the penalty area. But, their specialty, of course, is human resources and economies of scale and getting medical insurance for all the companies, whether you're a company of four people or a company of 200, 300 people. Insperity has hired the right people to do the right thing for their customers. And that's one thing. It's so, so gratifying for me to be involved with. I played golf with the three principals the other day, Jay Minks and Steve Arispe, and of course, Paul Sarvati. And all their secret to success is treating their employees, which they have 3,500, the right way, John, and then they go out and treat their customers. So if you want help with your business, give Insperity a call. Log on to Insperity.com. I love to spread the word. They're just wonderful people, and they will really help you.
That's great stuff. That is great. Yeah, you've had a nice relationship with them for a long, long time. Great people, the Sarvatis. Great, great, great people. All right, so here we are, Charlie. Colin Morikawa. You know, we talk about Matthew Wolff, and we've talked about Jordan Spieth, and you were asking me about Jordan Spieth before the show.
Yeah,
you know, Colin Morikawa was off to a Jordan Spieth kind of start here.
It's unbelievable.
He really is.
He's only missed one cut. He's already, you know, won. His approach to the game is second to none. He went to, you know, University of California at Berkeley, had a great college career. And he stayed a year longer so he could enjoy that type of life. And he came out, and he's played very well. He's had a couple of hiccups. He's lost in the playoff up at Colonial. But, wow, what a golf swing. And he hits a lot of great golf shots. Solid. Big physique. Good-looking kid. Sky's the limit.
He was... He didn't get the fanfare that what Wolf got, or Hovland, or those guys that came off that championship Oklahoma State team,
right?
And I guess rightfully so. But he's the one. He is taking the, you know, Matthew Wolf has got that swing that everybody talks about whenever they watch him, and he's got the power. But Morikawa's just got the consistency that you just don't see.
Classic golf swing, you know, very, very tidy, and just hits the ball in the fairway and on the green. So, you know, the change is there. I mean, we talk about Bryson DeChambeau, his length, but all these guys are hitting it just like what Larry said. All these guys are long. You know, they're 300 plus, and but they're well trained. The golf college programs, as we said over the years, has trained these kids, and now they have the PGA University in how the PGA has changed its way to let the young guys qualify to get on the tour, because it's out of respect for the type of kids that are coming out of college that can go to the Corn Ferry Tour, and they're just keep feeding the athletes so that their product gets better and better.
Yep, and it is. Well, but here's the problem, Charlie. We might not have a football season. Football feeds all the other sports. Is that a concern in the golf community?
Oh, it already is. Yeah, they've cut back all their schedules.
Yeah.
You know,
well, not only their schedules, but programs are being eliminated.
Oh, yeah. You know, the San Andreas University up in Austin stopped golf and tennis.
Did it?
All the, you know, it's going to be a big effect. You know, those filling those, you know, 100,000 stadiums that, you know, generate millions and millions of dollars is a budget problem. And a lot of the universities have gotten too expensive, John. I mean, you got to face it. They got to cut their budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, golf doesn't get the scholarships that the other sports do anyway.
No, four and a half.
Yeah, right. That's all you can
get. And then they raise their own money, just like the Three Amigos tournament that we funded, you know, scholarships for basketball and for golf, and we did a lot. We're going to have to go back and do that again.
Yeah, no. Is the golf community – and, you know, listen, we just saw Stanford. They eliminated 11. Golf didn't get touched, which was nice. But is the golf community going to step up and going to try to keep college golf alive?
I think they will. You know, with the economy the way it's going, it's still hanging in there. I mean, we can't handle too much longer, but there's still money out there for the alumni to share with their different programs. You know, like Mike Booker at the University of Houston has done so much for the Cougars, but it's going to get harder The days of flying all over in airplanes, you're going to be getting in those buses and just playing locally. You're going to have to cut their budgets.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you're going to find that in a lot of sports, is that they're just going to play in within state or closer to home, as opposed to the conferences that are so expanded right now. It's just too expensive.
The Cougars aren't going to go to Washington State now.
No,
they're not out of conference games.
No. Well, for this year anyway. But we'll see what happens going forward. You mentioned Jordan Spieth.
Yes.
Charlie, and we were talking before about is there anybody that we can compare in another sport that had such a big run for 4 years and then just fell off the earth?
Yeah. I mean, just like this week, he's close to the cut line, and he double bogeys 8 to miss the cut by 1. And I watch him, and I love the kid. I just love what he's all about. But he just doesn't look happy playing. You know, I mean, you can be intense, but, you know, I'm not sure what's going on.
He's pressing really hard.
Pressing really. You know, I mean, to get the level, I mean, win 3 majors that early. I mean, and now he hadn't won since he won the British Open or the Open Championship 3 years ago. So it just disappears. I don't know where it goes. You know, that magic touch.
Well, we've seen it before. Golf is the... I mean, with David Duval, of course, that turned into yips and everything. Ian Baker Finch.
All the guys that just
fall apart, Charlie. One second, you know.
You lose your nerve.
That something happens. And, you know, Jordan had, we talk about how long the game is now. With, the guys are so long. He had the uphill battle of, he's not all that long. He's not short by any means, but he's not all that long. So he has to hit it in the fairway, and he also had to putt unbelievably. That putting stroke was the best in the sport for 3 to 4 years, and that won him so many tournaments. And if that goes away, he's done. because he's not hitting it that close because he's not that far. He's not that long in the fairway. So he's got the double whammy. If and especially if he's not hitting that driver straight, he's in big trouble.
You know, when he came out, when you know, he played in the Dallas tournament when he was 16 and made the cut, you know, he was playing like a kid, playing footloose and fancy free. And then this all snowballed into great success, and he got elected for the Ryder Cup, you know, as a player, and everything just went his way. But then you hit this wrong shot at the wrong time, the victory that Dustin Johnson won over him when Dustin hit it like 390 yards and he had to lay up. Mm-hmm. Now you start pressing. And once you start pressing in sport, John, you've been there.
Well, have you ever been up against a guy that's hitting it so much longer than you, and you guys are going head-to-head, and he's hitting it? I mean, sure. It can be demoralizing.
Oh, yeah.
That I've got to hit. I've got to be so much more accurate.
Just like, you know, running a NASCAR and your car is going 100 and your opponent's going 175 right by you. Well, you're trying to put your foot through the floorboard.
Yep, I mean, absolutely.
You can't do it.
You just can't do it. Yeah, when you've got a 5-iron in his hand and he's got a wedge, that's hard.
Hard.
Yeah.
Well, Vijay Singh did it back in 2003 when he won 9 tournaments 1 year, and he developed a golf swing that was 30 yards longer, and he could hit it in the rough. And back then, the wedges had square grooves, and he could hit it out of the rough because of his strength. And he dominated for a couple of years. So,
yeah, and Jack dominated. He changed it. He played a game that I'm not familiar with. You don't remember that?
Yes.
You know, so everybody. Bobby Tiger Jones. Came along, and he dominated
Tiger.
The game, and he
Where's
he hit
Tiger
it so
been,
long.
John?
Well, he's going to be there next week. Well, he's going to be there next week. We'll see if Tiger should he be the favorite next week?
No.
No. DeChambeau's got to be the favorite.
I would think so.
I would think so too.
You know,
But Tiger, you think does Tiger make the cut next week?
Or Wolf? Yeah, he'll make the cut. I think. I mean, but I don't know why he hadn't been playing, but Tiger is Tiger, and he knows better than anybody. Yeah,
he does it the Tiger way. It's 52 after the hour, rather, here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We got another short segment to go. Don't you go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back. Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Well, John, you know, we usually talk about, you know, we talked about the victory DeChambeau did in Detroit. You know, it was quite an event. You know, this week we're at Memorial. Next week we're going to be at Memorial. And we're talking about, you know, I asked you where Tiger's been. And you asked me if Tiger's going to be the favorite next week at Jack's tournament. I don't think so. I don't think he can take this much time off and be sharp. It's going to take him a few weeks to start the engine.
Yeah.
But he's Tiger.
But he's Tiger. You never know. I mean, he's such a wild card. You never know. It's impossible to bet against him, Charlie. but you know, you're right. Without the competition, we'll see how he does. The last time we saw him, he looked like he was playing pretty good with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. But that's another type of competition where we don't have much time left. Give us some clues. Give us some insight into Muirfield. You've played it so often. What is it this weekend and next week we got to look for that guys have to do to win?
Well, they've narrowed the fairways. This week the greens are running 11. Next week they're going to be running 13 because next week they could actually kill the grass because that's what they're going to do anyway. So the putting is going to be in chipping out a rough on greens that are going 13, you can make doubles real quick. You can chip it off the green. There's certain holes that you've got to play smart because they're big number holes. 18th hole at Muirfield was the number one hardest hole on the PGA Tour last year. You know, Jack kept moving the tee back and back and put in bunkers and rough. And so you got to be exact. But, you know, DeChambeau's won there. Tiger's won there 5 times. So, you know, Can he be a favorite? Sure he can. But the golf course makes, you know, they still shoot pretty good numbers there because they're so good, because usually the greens are really, really soft. Now it's this, they've never had a tournament, professional tournament in July. And they should have to, you know, they have this thunderstorms, but if they keep those greens hard and fast, you know, 10 under might win the tournament.
So this week they'll score better than they will next.
Yes. Yeah.
You're predicting
that.
Yeah.
They're playing, you know, they're missing the tees are forward and back, so the landing areas change. So, yeah. But the divot care, they can take care of that.
But what makes 18 so hard?
Well, it's a dog leg right uphill. Water down the left side all the way. I mean, that hazard's there. And then it's the right side is guarded by five big bunkers. And then the rough there is 3.5-4 inches to start at the week. And by Sunday, it's at 6 inches. So then the green is really demanding. So it's just a great hole.
So we'll have a lot of fun watching this week and next, and we'll be back next week to tell you to talk to you about what went on this week and what's going on at the midway point next week as well. Great week. We appreciate it. Thanks to Larry Dornish. He was a great guy. He sounded like a great guy, Charlie.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Awesome.
And how about Jose?
No, he doesn't. He's just steady. He's a rock. He's our DeChambeau. He's Jose DeChambeau right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Club.